Blog Talk Radio.
The Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministries, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So we do thank for those of you that tuned in. We do thank you. For those of you that have called in, that are listening by your internet, If you would like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That is 347-237-4054. We would ask that when you do call in, or those that you call in, please make sure that you mute your mic until it's time, or mute your phones until it's time for you to come in, because we can hear everything over the internet, okay? We can hear everything. So oftentimes when you are on and when you have your phone open, we hear everything, and it's very distracting to the speaker. Amen? So we do ask if you would do that, you would just please make sure that your phones are muted until you have the opportunity. If you find that you get ready to come in and you have something to say, please hit the number one. If you would, hit the number one and just open it up for you. Amen? This evening we're going to be moving into Atlanta, Georgia. We have Pastor Rose Dixon, who is on from Atlanta, Georgia, and we're going to invite her on the mic. We're going to have prayer, and after we have prayer, then we're going to turn the mic on over to Atlanta. Amen. Father, we come before you to thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has called and blessed, and we shall be glad in it. Father, we know that you're calling us to a new beginning, a new fresh call to discipleship, and we're asking that you're asking us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. It is in our baptism that you claimed us as a child. Today, we affirm that we have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer that we who live in you, but Christ who lives in us. We surrender ourselves, our desires, our life to you, Father, and we commit you to discipleship as we pray frequently, study your word diligently, worship regularly, and invite other people to the life of discipleship. Encourage Christians in the life of faith. Serve those that are in need, and give joyfully to the gifts that you have given. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. We are moving on to Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Rose, are you there?
Yes. I'm here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to move on out of the way. We're going to let the Lord do as however he has placed on your heart. Amen.
Amen. Well, bless the Lord today. Hallelujah. At this time, I'm kind of under the weather right now, not feeling too well. So tonight, I just ask for your prayers tonight, and y'all come help me out tonight. Just come on and chime in on what God has given with me tonight. So I just ask that you guys help me out tonight. Feeling kind of low because I'm not feeling too well. When you work with children, you know, you tend to get what they got. And some of my kids are sick in my classroom, so I got it, so what they had. And so I just pray tonight that you help me out tonight and pray for me as well, amen, as we get into this word. I pray that this word be a life-changing word because I believe this word is an end-time word, and we definitely need it today, amen. And so if you have your Bibles with you this evening, we're going to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, I'm going to read from the 8th verse to the 11th, and then we're just going to see what God has to say tonight, all right? So we're going to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verses 8 through 11, and it reads as follows. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreams. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name, and I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work towards you and cause you to return to this place. We're going to talk about the 11th verse. And this is where I'm actually going to take the lesson and the text. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and an open end. And the word of God is blessed. And basically, my topic tonight is God got your back. Hallelujah. Simple as that. God got your back. Don't worry. Don't fret. God got your back. He got everything in control. God got your back. And so, as you know me, I like to dig into the scripture and give you a little background of what the chapter is saying and who is speaking. At this point, we hear and we see in this particular chapter, God gives a letter to Jeremiah, the prophet. Now, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about Jeremiah. I don't know if some of you may not know who Jeremiah is. And I just want to just give you a little brief of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a man that was divinely called in his youth from the priest city of Anathoth, a heartbroken prophet with a heartbreaking message. Jeremiah labors for more than 40 years proclaiming a message of doom to the stiff-necked people of Judah. So he was a prophet for Judah, amen, and he would get message from God, and God would speak to him about the different things that was going on in Judah to let them know that he knows what's going on and that they had to shapen up, amen. And so as we look at this particular chapter in the 29th verse, here God gives a letter to Jeremiah, the prophet, to the captivities in Babylon. Now let me just go back here. Judah was in captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, the king, in Babylon. And in other words, Nebuchadnezzar took Judah. And the reason why is that Judah had fallen from grace from God. They rebelled against God. They turned back on God. They rejected him. Amen. They didn't listen to prophet Jeremiah. They refused to listen to him when he would come with messages from God. The people would just turn a stiff neck. They'll be arrogant and proud and not listen to the voice of Jeremiah. And that sounds like us today. We have, some of us have fallen by grace. Amen. We have rebelled against God. You know, we look at God's word and God says, don't do this. We shouldn't do that. But as people of God and as people in general, we just decide to do whatever we want to do and not listen to what the book says. Amen. Mm-hmm. I always say when God wrote this book, this Bible, he wrote it for a reason. This Bible gives us direction. Amen. This Bible is our lifeline. It tells us how to live. It tells us what we need to do as we live on earth. But some of us, we just refuse not to listen to God. Amen. And God does not like that. That's not pleasing to God. And so they were so disobedient to God. And I could imagine how God felt. You know, I'm doing all this for you, and then you just turn your back on me. I bless you. I wake you up every morning. I allow blood to run through your veins. And you still refuse me. I work out situations in your life. I do things for you. And you still refuse me. I can imagine how God has felt, heartbroken. Amen. And so we do, as we move on, the Bible says that after they did all this, here comes, he gives them to King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and they become captured there. So this is how they became captive in Babylon. Amen. Any questions as we move forward? Amen. And so they become captive in Babylon because of their disobedience. And so he sends a letter to them, and in this particular letter, because you'll find it in the upper part of the scripture, you find this where he tells them in this letter, as you end this captivity with Babylon, he says, build, still build, live, settle in the land. He said, begin to plant and grow. Amen. And marry and have many children and multiply. And I begin to look at that and I say, God, okay, they in captivity, mine is messed up, they in a situation, and you still want them to build and to live and to multiply and to grow? And the Lord said yes. And so I begin to ask the Lord, and he begins to tell me, the answer was, life still goes on. That's what God told me. Even though they were in a situation, life still goes on. You still got to fight your way. Amen. Problems are going to come. Situations are going to come. You still got to do what you need to do. Amen. Any questions? Amen. Amen. Things still have to move on. Amen. You know, we're going to have trials and tribulations. Things are going to come our way. But we can't just allow our tribulations and our trials to take us. We got to fight beyond. Amen.
Amen.
We can't let situations deter us from doing what we need to do for God. Amen. Because he said it's not going to be easy. Amen. We are going to have the trials and tribulations. We are going to encounter different things. We are going to encounter trouble. But you got to stand and fight and not give up and not give unto the devil. Amen. Because that's what the enemy wants us to do anyway, is to give up. Soon something happens, we get upset and we forget about who God is. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, God did this. He ain't going to get me out of this. Yes, he will. You guys got to fight and trust God. Amen. Any questions?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And so as we move on, we're moving on into the 8th and the 9th chapter. He says in this particular chapter, after the 7th verse, he said, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for in its peace you will have peace. And see, when I looked at that too, you know, when you're going through what you're going through, seek peace. Because remember, you're just going through it.
Mm-hmm.
As believers, we just go through. We ain't sticking there. But as you're going through, you got to ask God for peace. Because sometimes the trouble is real. The struggle is real. But you got to ask God for peace so that you could get through what you need to get through.
Amen.
Amen. Because there's nothing like having peace of mind. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the devil's beating you down and you're going through so much and your mind can get messed up. And you can say to your mind, well, I'm staying right here. I'm not moving.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much trouble, so much things are in your heart and your mind and you're going through. But I come to let you know tonight, you need to seek peace tonight. Seek God's peace.
Amen.
Not our peace, but seek his peace. Because his peace will give you understanding. His peace will give you hope. His peace will give you everything that you need as you're going through your situation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's time out seeking other things. See, we see, you know, drugs, alcohol, women, men. That's not what we need to seek. We need to seek the peace, because those things can't help you. Only God can help you through every situation that you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Any questions?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All mics open if there are any comments.
Yes. I need you to help me out tonight. Amen. Amen. And so he Amen. Says to them, seek the peace of the city where you at, wherever you are at, wherever that you're going through, and wherever place that you're standing at right now, seek his
mm-hmm.
peace.
Amen.
Seek his peace tonight. Amen. And so as we look at the situation that we're living in today, we need to seek his peace.
Mm-hmm.
What we're dealing with in this world today, we need to seek his peace.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We need to seek his guidance. We need to seek his hand. Because let me tell you, America is in trouble.
Yeah.
America is in trouble. And we need God. We need to lay before
Amen.
The Lord and begin to hear his voice. We
mm-hmm.
need to seek his word, get in his word, and seek the things of God's word to help us through. Because when they were in captivity, I can imagine the things that they were going through, because they're in captivity. You know, they lost their freedom. They're under a king that has control over them. And so I can imagine them feeling like, I don't have no freedom. I can't do what I want to do. That their hands are tied. And their mind is not right. And God knew this. And that's why he told them, seek my peace.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Amen.
My God. Seek my peace
Amen.
Tonight. Some of you are dealing with some issues. And I say it tonight, some of you are dealing with some financial issues. You don't know what to do. Your bills are more than your money.
Mm.
Seek peace. You're trying to figure out how I'm going to pay this, and then you look at your paycheck at the end of the week or once a month or every 2 weeks, and it's not fitting. Seek peace.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hallelujah. Some of you are dealing
mm-hmm.
and dealing with some issues in your body tonight. Some of you are dealing with reports of the doctor. He's saying it's one way, but I declare today that you seek God. Seek God.
Mm-hmm.
Seek God for peace.
Amen.
He's telling you in this word, he's telling you in Jeremiah, seek me. I'm here. You're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
God, even though that God was angry with them, he was still with them. He still didn't leave them alone. Even though that God was angry, because the Bible said, when you read in chapter 28, he was angry with them. But he still was there with them, encouraging them. Yeah, you're going to go through this because you're being disobedient, because you was rebellious. But he said, even though that, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here.
Amen.
Seek me.
Amen. Amen.
Seek me out. God is calling for you to seek him out. You're
Amen.
Not alone in nothing that you're dealing with tonight. You're not alone. Mm-hmm. You may feel that you're alone, but you're not, because God is with you.
Amen.
Ah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because when you're going through stuff and things are going crazy, the enemy is running rapid in your life, you begin to feel like, where's God in this? Where's the people? But I'll let you know tonight, people may fail you, but God would never fail you. He said he'll never
Amen.
Leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Seek his face tonight. Amen. Any questions?
All mics open. All you have to do is comment.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so as you're seeking God. Mm-hmm.
This is Jimmy Davis from Cleveland, Ohio. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We can hear you.
But oftentimes, what spiritual leaders often focus on is the gentleness and the compassion of Jesus. We have to also understand that there is a punishment relative to one's disobedience to God. There's a wrath also associated with disobedience. So, if you remember that Christ, in his triune nature, is the same God that penalized the people of Israel, sent them into exile, the same God that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So as long as we occupy the throne of our life, then we're going to experience these type of devastations. If we place God on the throne of our life, then the blessings shower upon us.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Glory to God, yes.
Yeah, and I just want to piggyback on, and I want to piggyback off of that. You know, that's just the same the way it was when Jeremiah was giving the warning to the people, you know, letting them know that they were not that the warning was not to follow false prophets, not to listen to anything or anyone had to say. That was talking about the word of God that was not true. And that's what it looks like today. That's what it looks like today. Knowing who God is and choosing not to believe in God. You know, and even here, you know, as we just said, there are warnings, you know, and there's consequences when, you know, we choose not to follow God. There are consequences.
Mm-hmm.
There's that good time. You know, even in Judah, there was that good time. You know, for those that chose not to follow that, you know, not to follow the prophet.
Right.
So you know, in my mind, the key is to first have fear of God. You got to fear God within your own being, then you will obey God. You have fear of God, then you will not want the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
Could you speak up a little louder,
brother?
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello?
Better now.
Yeah. Okay,
yes,
what I was saying is that when one has wisdom, the first step in wisdom is to have fear of God. If you're fearful of God, then you're fearful of the wrath of God. If you're fearful of the wrath of God, then you're fearful of the punishment of God. Because, again, he's the same God that punished the world in the existence of Noah. He's the same God that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He's the same God that issued wrath upon all mankind for disobedience.
Uh-huh.
Now, on the same side of that, God shows compassion to his people, even though they have misbehaved. He yet shows compassion. He showed compassion here. And we see compassion, but there's also an action that we have to perform within ourselves to obtain compassion. And we need to understand that, the true nature of God and not just the half nature of God. And I think that oftentimes we forget the fullness of God in his wrath also.
Right. And also, too, that people don't even fear God these days. We have people that don't even fear God.
Yeah, it's true.
They just do whatever. I remember, as I grown up in church, as a young girl, people that smoked cigarettes, they would never smoke cigarettes in front of the church. They would go down the road and smoke their cigarettes. They wouldn't sit there. Now they smoke the cigarette right on the church grounds, you know, and have no reverence. Of the church. We come any old kind of way in the house of God and don't reverence God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I find that today that we just don't fear God anymore.
How do we go from the then and there of the time of Jeremiah to the here and now and the yet to come based upon what we just read? How do we apply it, okay, to our existence now and also in our yet-to-come existence? That's the question.
I think just to piggyback off that, my brother, I think that part on there is because when you start looking in terms of what Jeremiah was going through, Jeremiah, basically, it's waiting on God, and that's really the key, waiting on God. At that time, they were supposed to have been waiting on God, and they chose not to wait on God. They were held 70 years in exile, and they were supposed to wait on God. And if they waited on God, God had a hope and a future for them, but they chose not to.
That's right.
And it's just the same way it is today. God has given us a promise. God has given us a promise, and he's saying that what we're supposed to do is wait on him.
That's right.
We're not doing it. We're choosing to take things in our own hands rather than and do it our way. So when we do it our way, then we're not listening to God. If we're not listening to God, we're listening to the world. And that's basically the way it was during that time in Judah. They chose to listen to the false prophets rather than listen to God.
Right. Right. They didn't have patience, you know. They wanted to do whatever they wanted to do.
Amen.
Amen.
I have a comment from 403. 403, your mic is on. I turned it on because I'm hearing noise in the background. I'm kind of figuring out where it's coming from.
Okay, can you hear me?
Okay, go ahead. Yes, go.
Okay, so what I was going to say is that with this, like you were talking about the warning, how you're given warning, the prophets come out and prophets, you know, prophesy and fears of the, you know, let people know. But one of the issues that the world today in our situation, especially think of how we got this onus, is that the people of the church, the true believers, aren't speaking out and aren't just what we're supposed to do. If we have the same power and are able to operate the power that Christ did, we're obviously not. And so we have to teach and be examples for baby Christians, for the backsliders, for everybody else that says all that can help pray, but they don't know how to pray, and they don't know how to serve. And we're supposed to be oral examples for the world. Yes, our world is corrupt, but I don't believe that God has given up on us at all. And I believe that even though Trump is in office right now, that the Lord is one that can turn anything around. So anything that the Lord meant for evil can be turned around. Absolutely anything and anyone. But what we as believers is Bible reading, you know, tongue talking, hands laying on, laying in the spirit, all of that, you know, spirit filled believers, we're supposed to take the seed. Not take the lead. We react instead of being aggressive with our spirituality, with our prayer, we honor Christ. We're reactive, we complain, and we react to whatever. But we don't go out in true spiritual warfare and attack and offense.
Yes.
I'm hearing a lot of bad noise. Thank God, noises. So what I'm going to do, turn off all the mics, and when you like to, when you have a comment, just hit number one, and I will open up the mic because it might even be coming from mine. It might even be coming from mine, and I'm trying to filter that out. Okay.
Amen. Amen. And so, I move forward because of time. And we find here also in the text, seek his peace, seek the time that you're in need, seek him, seek for his peace. And as you're seeking peace, he says in the eighth verse, don't listen to prophets that come in my name and are not true prophets. You know, listen to his voice. And sometimes when you're going through, you can't just be listening to everybody that's in your ear. You can't always listen to different ones in your ear, amen, because there could be false prophets giving you false information. So in that, what you need to do is seek God and listen to the voice of God, amen. And so he goes on to say that as they're in this captivity, he said that they will be in captivity for 70 years in Babylon. But he says, don't give up. You know, continue to do what you need to do because I got your back. And that's where I got my text from, and from my subject is from the 11th verse. So we're going to go there because of time. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. In other words, so when I looked at the particular scripture, you know, he knows the thoughts for us. Amen. He made us. He created us. So he knows the thoughts that he has towards us, and they are good. Amen. So, you know, he has our back. You don't have to worry about, you know, what is before you. You don't have to worry about what you're dealing with because he got your back. He has it all in control. Amen. And his thoughts is peace and not of evil. Amen. To give us a future and a hope. There's hope. There's future in God. I realize you just got to trust him. That's the whole thing to this 11th verse is to trust God. No matter what it looks like, trust him because he has a plan for you. There's a plan for your life. And the plan for your life is future and hope. Your plan is not to be doomed. Your plan is for future and hope. There's hope for you. And so I say this tonight, you know, don't give up. No matter how bad it looks, don't give up because God got your back. Amen. There's a plan for you. There's a plan for your life. Amen. He don't want us to be doomed. He don't want us to be in despair. He wants us to have a future and hope. There's hope in God. Amen, because he got your back. And so when I look at today and I look out, and I'm going to tap into it as we look at our president today. No, I didn't vote for him, and I'm being real, I didn't. And so, and when I look at that and his views and the way he thinks, I still believe, God, there's hope. I believe there's hope. No matter what he thinks, no matter what he says, I believe God. And God is going to fix everything. And God is going to work everything out for my good. You know, some of his tactics and his ideas that he wants to do for the country, I don't agree with it totally. But I trust God because God is going to work it out. And even though what he says and what way things are going, I'm still going to build. I'm still going to grow. I'm still live for God. I'm not going to allow what he thinks to dictate my life because God has a plan for me. There's future and there's hope for me. And so people, you know, people was crying and things were going on. People were sad. But don't be sad tonight. Know that there's a future and there's a hope for you.
Amen.
Because he got your back. He loves us. If you don't know that, God loves us today. And he wants to see the best for us.
Yes.
And I believe that's what he wanted, Judah, he wanted best for them as well. Even though he was angry at them because they were serving other gods, they were doing other things that wasn't of God, but he still loved them. He still cared for them. He still encouraged them as they were in exile, in captivity mm-hmm. with Babylon. He still was right there with them. He wanted the best for them as well. And he was going to deliver them.
Amen.
He was going to deliver them out of all of this. So that lets me know that no matter what I'm going through, God is going to deliver me from this. He's going to bring me out of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I say tonight, don't give up because God got your back. And you're going to win anyway. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. He got your back. Don't fret. Don't give up. There's
Amen.
Light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage you tonight. I don't want to hoop and holler you tonight. I just want to sit and talk with you tonight. That there's
mm-hmm.
hope. There's future for you.
Yes.
And some of you out there tonight are saying, you know what? There's no hope. There's no light. I'm in a dark place, and I don't see no light. But the light is light of Jesus. And if you
Amen.
Need that light, seek him. Seek God. Cut off that social media. Get off the phone. Get off the TV. And seek God. Get in his word. Study his word. And I bet you you'll find light in your situation tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Any questions? Hallelujah.
Amen. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was just going to say that God has a perfect plan. He has an agenda for each and every one of us, as he had
mm-hmm.
an agenda for the people that were exiled in Babylon.
Right.
Surely, no matter what man does to prevent the materialization of that plan from occurring, the plan will, in fact, materialize. If God can work
Amen.
Through the jackass, he surely can work through Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He can.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why it's important that we just trust God. We continue to do what we need to do and trust God.
Amen. Amen.
You know, let whatever he do, what he do. But know that God got your back. Especially if you're a believer and you belong to him and you're a king's kid. He got you.
Mm.
So no matter what he may do around you or say, he got your back.
Amen.
He's going to take care of us. Amen. So I just believe God tonight that, you know, whatever that you're dealing with tonight, your problem is not bigger than God. God is bigger than your problem. And he can fix it. He can fix it for you tonight. I just feel like ministering to someone tonight that he can fix your situation.
Mm.
But you got to trust him.
Amen.
You got to truly, truly trust him. And give it unto him. Because he will work it out for you. God can work the impossible. We may think it's impossible, but God can make it possible for you.
Amen. Yes, He can.
I just feel on the line there's just hurtness. Some people are going through because they hurt. They've been wounded. Some people have been broken, but He can mend that brokenness.
Amen.
He could put you back together. He could put the pieces back together again if you trust Him and if you let Him. And you have to open up your heart. You got to open up your spirit to Him and let Him come in and fix it for you.
Mm.
You don't have to be in despair. You don't have to be down and out. He will work it out for your good.
Yes. Amen.
We need to trust Him in this season. Not trust in ourselves, but trust in God.
Amen.
Because like I stated before, America's in trouble. And we need to bound together as a body of believers, come together and encourage one another. There's no just being here and there, the cliques and all that. No, we need to come together as one, as a body of Christ, and work together and encourage one another. It's quiet on the line tonight.
Amen, amen.
But it's real. It's real tonight, saints. It's real. My God. And the scripture also let me know that. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." God thinks about you all the time. You are on God's mind. You are on God's mind. When I looked at that scripture, I said, God thinks about me all the time. That's enough for me to move forward in Him. That's enough for me to move through my struggle and not stay there. Because I'm on God's mind. And He wants us to have that peace.
Yes.
He wants to have that love. He wants to have that long suffering. Amen?
Amen.
My God. It's real tonight, saints. And so I say tonight, you know, God got your back. Anybody else has something to say? Amen.
Yeah, I have something to say. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. You know, the big idea that I gleaned from this passage is that future and hope is that as long as we follow the agenda of God, then He blesses us with the future because He's perceived into the future. Then He conceives the materiality of what He has for us. So as long as we place Him ahead of our lives, then we have future and we have hope. And we hold on to that. We embrace that. As long as we embrace that and put God first in our lives, then He will bless us with countless blessings. And that's what I gleaned from this passage.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And that's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And also to that, what you were saying too, sir, you know, if we stay with God, he'll give us that future and hope. And if you call upon him and go in prayer, he will listen to you. And so that lets me know, too, when you have a relationship with God and you commune with God, he will listen to you when you call upon him and go into prayer.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Amen. So relationship here as well.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. You know, yes. When he placed the exile into, you know, bonded, you know, he placed them in a position where they had to start to rely upon him. They could no longer rely upon themselves. And when he placed them in a position of relying upon him, they could then see that they had future and hope. So, you know, even if we're disobedient to God and we receive the wrath of God, okay, in his compassion, he's going to forgive us. You know, we count the numerous times that God forgave the Israelites. Over and over and over and over and again, they rejected him. They disbelieved his miraculous feats. But yet, he would punish them, and he would be compassionate, and he would forgive them. And then they would turn around and do the same thing over and over and over again. And God, in his compassion for his chosen people, he would do the same thing over and over again by forgiving them. This is another instance in which he shows his compassion of love for his people. And, you know, because of our human nature, we do things that are ungodly. Because of our human nature, we do things that are disobedient to God. Because of our human nature, we do things that oftentimes is irrational when you compare it to the word of God. But yet he forgives us anyway because he loves us. He has that agape love for us, okay, unconditional love. And we won't find that unconditional love anywhere else. We won't find it with our own wives and children. It's unconditional. Now, he loves us, but yet he does not condone our behavior, somewhat similar to a parent and a child. They yet love you, but they may not condone your behavior. It's the same situation.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know I fall short time and time again, and I thank God that he does love me and forgive me.
Yeah.
When I fall short.
Yeah. But because of his agape love for us, we can pick ourselves up, brush ourselves off, and he puts us back in the game.
Yep. He put us back together again.
Amen.
And what an awesome God he is.
Yes.
Because, you know, man, you mess up, man just throw you to the side and hit you.
Amen to that. Yeah.
And let you die.
He will do it. Yeah.
But God, he said, come on, my brother. Come on, my sister. Let's try it again.
But
yes, hallelujah.
God. But God. But God.
Yes.
Yes.
But God.
Yes.
And why not serve a God like that?
Yeah.
Why not worship a God like that?
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I was just wondering, you know, in the Bible it says that when Israelites turned their back on God, that he would raise up, you know, like Nebuchadnezzar, and he would allow the enemy to put them into slavery because of his defeat. And a lot of, I mean, when I was looking at the election last night, I felt as though, you know, Hillary was going to win, but then something told me that God was going to turn the whole thing around. And I sometimes think because we have turned our backs on God, the person that we really wanted, sometimes God do put in a tyrant person or a person that we dislike so we can depend more upon him than depend upon the government itself. We have to, you know, like they said, revival for the nation. Mm-hmm. When are we going to revival? We turn back to God. Because, you know, I was listening to the TV before the election and how they were saying that there's so many ministers and pastors that are not preaching hell, sin. They're trying to, put things together so they won't offend anybody. Okay?
Amen.
It's down. So, you know, it would be good if this nation could have revival to come together. But to take president, we don't know. Only God knows him and what's going to happen in the future. We have to depend upon God for our future. And sometimes he takes us through the storm. Okay? He takes us through a storm for a purpose.
Well, I think sometimes he takes us through a storm to get our attention because we're so busy doing other things and then, you know, we forget God and then he has to bring a storm or something to us to realize, okay, you know, you've fallen off track and here I am. And so once you go through, when you're in that storm, you begin to surrender unto God.
Right.
You really start depending on God.
Yeah, that's when we go through the trials and tribulations of life. Those that know the Lord, we really start praying more, attending church.
Yeah.
On church, we start attending church more. But God is an awesome God. He does love us, but he wants us to be obedient to his will also.
Right.
Amen.
So,
I'd just like to tag off what the lady said early on about the storms that we experience in our lives. But, you know, God does not promise us that we won't go through storms and tribulations and suffering.
Right.
But what happens when you're a child of God and you're a believer of God is that yet you go through the storm, there are times when God will place you in the eye of the storm. And when you're placed in the eye of the storm, you can see the tumulus and the wreckage all around you, but it doesn't affect you because within the eye of the storm, that's the most genteel part of the storm. You're in the storm, but you're not in the storm because you're protected by God, the spiritual hand of God.
Mm. Well, he carries us through the storm also. You know, I mean, he never promises a perfect life because the perfect life is supposed to be the eternal life with the Father in heaven. So we want to go through some type of storm.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Amen to that.
Yes.
You know, someone also was saying that, you know, that church leaders oftentimes does not preach the wrath of God. They preach what they think the audience wants to hear. Okay, but there was a time in history, it was called the Great Awakening period. And within that Great Awakening period, it's between 1850 and maybe the early 1900s, okay? That was the period in time in our history here in America that we had the most souls coming to God. And how what they did in terms of getting that done, they preached the wrath of God. They preached the other side of God. They preached the fearful nature that man should have for God. And because when you're full of something, and you fear for it, and you believe at the same time, you will do justice to what God has said for you to do. I don't know how we got away from it, but it happened. And we're still doing the same thing.
Well, it says in the latter days that they will be preaching what the people itching ears wants to hear.
Yeah, amen to that.
So God's word has to come to pass. So these things are going to come about. So we have to we have to be aware of what's going on, because we know that he promised to come back, and he gave us signs. He didn't tell us the time, but he said there will be birth pains. He gave us the signs of the time, and so we should be aware of what's going on, and we should be prayerful at the same time. Like,
amen,
even homosexuality, you know, homosexuality is right before our eyes now. And also, if you look on TV, every show now has something about homosexuality. And it's even they're trying to teach in California. I think they have already started that about same-sex marriage in the school.
Yeah. You see, what mankind has done now, you know, they've succumbed to the devil. They've taken homosexuality and they've redefined it by calling it alternative lifestyles. It's still the same thing. But now we call it alternative lifestyles and we condone it. It's just the wiles of the devil. That's what it is.
Right. And that's why I said that, you know, we do not, you know, if God says no, it is no. Whatever he wrote in this book, if he says same sex ain't right, then that's not what we should be doing. There's no alternated, no trying to change it around. He said no is no.
Amen.
And we still, the Bible said that we should be holy. For I am holy.
Amen.
But they were saying, they did a survey of the pastors that aren't preaching, like you said, the wrath of God in church and against homosexuality, against sin. And most pastors said the reason why that they don't preach that because they don't want to lose most of their congregation. They did a survey on that.
Yeah, that's true. Some they do that. They sugarcoat it because they don't want to offend nobody.
But you know,
but they're not doing what God has called them to do.
Yeah.
If you
that's
feel
exactly
like you want to offend somebody.
Well, as far as I've heard a lot of people say, the television evangelists that be on that's on TV well known, that he doesn't talk all that stuff. The state representative, I know, even said that. Oh, I love to hear him. He doesn't talk all of that sin and going to hell and all of that. And he's a good preacher. I said he's a preacher that promotes goodness, but I said he's not preaching the whole truth about God's word at the same time. I'm quite sure
you're
you know
right,
who
sister.
I'm talking about. I don't want to give no names. But a lot of people I've heard said he was a good preacher because he don't preach all that garbage that they hear in church.
You're right. You know, I look at what Paul did, okay? Paul, when he saw lost souls, those people that were dead in Christ, he cried. He cried because he knew where their final destination was. For a pastor or anybody else, in my view, to water down the word of God, they're responsible for lost souls when they do that. And if you're going to preach the word of God, you can't water it down. You can't be afraid that you're going to lose followers because you're going to gain followers. You're going to gain them when you preach the word of God the way that God intended for it to be preached.
Preach
and that's
in
how
season and out of season. We have to preach the word in season when people want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it.
Amen. Amen to that.
Amen.
And not be concerned of the fallout. You preach the word of God and leave the outcome to God.
That's right.
Tony Evans has said he had, they told him that he couldn't use certain words.
Mm-hmm.
It was a public public place, something like that, but he said he went on there. He did what he had to do, and he left.
Amen. Amen. So tonight, good word tonight. I know we are over the time. I hope that this word encouraged someone and that you apply it to every day of life. And just know that God, you know, God has your back. And
Amen. Trust him
with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Amen.
Yeah, I just want you to pray for me for my healing. I'm still not walking good, so can you just pray for me? If you don't have enough time, you can pray after.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, if you want to do that, would you want me to do that? Father, we come before your throne of grace. Lord, we pray for my dear sister who is crying out about her walking. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would just minister to her mind, that you would minister to her spirit. Lord,
yes,
Father, we pray that you would touch her in the areas, Heavenly Father, that no one can see. Restore her, Heavenly Father.
Lord,
we just heard a word, Heavenly Father, where the title was, God's Got Your Back. We believe that God has her back also. And Lord Father,
yes,
we ask you that she would take everything that she's going through and that she would just turn it all over to you. You are a miraculous God. You are a healing God. You are the great I am. And now we ask you, Lord, where they said there was two or three that come together in your name, that you would be in the midst. We ask that you would activate that in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, we also pray, Heavenly Father, for Pastor Dixon, Heavenly Father, who has stated that she is under the weather, but yet she has a love for you, Heavenly Father, to still want to come on and proclaim the word of God. And, Father, we know that you're smiling upon her right now, even though she is not doing well. We pray, Lord, that you would build her up in the areas where she's torn down and that you would strengthen her where she is weak. Lord, Father, we pray that she would continue to walk on holy ground, letting boys and girls know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Lord, Father, there are those who are listening by internet, Father, we pray a special blessing to them as well. Lord, if there's a time that we need you, that has been stated, Father, we need you now. And Lord, Father, we pray that we would decrease so that you would increase, Heavenly Father, that you would get the glory, Father, that you would be the one they call upon, not man, Father. Lord, Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just humble us, humble our hearts, Heavenly Father, that we would seek ye, Father. Lord, that we would seek the kingdom of God, Father. And Lord, Father, we know that when we seek you, Heavenly Father, that things begin to happen on our part. And Lord, Father, right now we claim the victory in the name of Jesus. You said we have not because you answered. We ask right now in the name of Jesus, the majestic, the powerful name of Jesus. We claim it, we declare it, and now we leave it at your feet. We're going to look back, Father, and wonder if you're taking care of it, because we know that our ways are not your ways, and our thoughts are not your thoughts. And now we just turn it over to you, Father. And we thank you for blessing us. We thank you for the healing. We thank you for the restoration. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us back to where you have designed us. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We had 1,000 tongues. We could thank you for all that you've done, but we do thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor, we thank you once again. We thank you for coming in and declaring the word of God. We thank you for that.
We thank you for that.
And also, there's a time right now that we do need you. And I know that many who are listening right now who are concerned about what's happening in the presidential election, but God is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. We are not supposed to look at men, but we are to look at God. We are to look at God because
that's
where our help comes from. God is going to protect no matter what happens. The saints are going to be protected. The saints are going to be protected no matter what happens. To those of you that's listening
on
the internet, to those of you who have called in, the saints
of God will be protected. God already said that he has your back. So don't worry about what's going to happen in the world. Amen? So don't forget to call and call back and listen to this. By you can archive it on Blog Talk Radio, and then you will type in "We Can Begin Again," and you can pull up any archive that has been on any message that has been spoken. You can pull it up. We do thank you for tuning in. We're going to close out right now, and once again, we thank you for tuning in. All those that participated on the mic, my brother, my dear sister, all of those who participated.
Yes.
We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. To God be the glory.
The glory.
Mm-hmm. Until we meet next time. Remember, we love you, but God loves you.
Amen.
Okay, God bless all of you. God bless you.
God bless you.